Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Two Chunks in a Hunk, movie musings for mostly everyone. Hello. And welcome to Two Chunks in a Hunk. On this week's episode, we're going to make some jokes.
Yeah.
We're going to get serious. We're going to talk about a movie. We're going to talk about the human condition, the soul.
Dang.
I'm Jordan, and I'll be your guide today. Who do I have with me in the studio?
Hey, teens. I'm Doge. And you need to learn that someone else's confusion and mixed signals you try to decipher aren't a reflection of you, but rather of someone's ability to see your chunk.
Wow.
I'm Carter.
I try not to let strangers see my chunk most of the time.
Yeah. No, it's not appropriate usually in polite society, but you know, sometimes we get a little ribald. Sometimes we get a little blue on this podcast.
I'm Carter End. You don't remember your chunk? No, but for some reason, I remember yours.
Gross.
A name. Yeah. You don't remember. Yeah, it's kind of nasty. We do want to give a quick update here at the beginning of this episode that I think Gator Queen Liz is doing okay. We kind of got off on a sauce tangent that became a chip tangent that became a swamp people tangent.
Yeah.
And we discovered that Gator Queen Liz has maybe been through some things, but her and her family are going to be A-OK.
She was fired from swamp people in like 2017 or 18, but her Facebook post does say that she believes in Louisiana and she backs her family 100%. And
can that's you really not what more believing can you ask for? Like, I don't think it's real.
I have family there.
If anybody's going to survive COVID, it's Gator Queen Liz. I'm sure she's just fine.
She didn't even know it happened.
Chewed him.
She emerged in 2022 and was like, why is everybody being so weird?
What's happening? Why was I an old prospector? That's not Gator Queen Liz. What's happening around here?
Can anybody tell me what's going on?
Before we play a game here on this first half, we'll be talking about Spirited Away. After the break, which is going to be our way of saying goodbye to Thanksgiving, which has been really a wholesome, lovely, strange, and wonderful time. I want to ask really quick, what you streaming? Sometimes it feels like we don't get to talk about what we're streaming because of strike. What you streaming?
Doge has some real Googling if Gator Queen Liz is still alive energy right now, and I'm
going to need to know that.
I'm trying
sure
to decipher
about this. We can't tell, dude. She's off the grid.
I can't tell.
She for sure is.
She lives off the grid.
Okay, she took some pics on July 31st with weather coming into Pelican Island, pretty cool clouds.
Okay. Ooh, sounds like she's doing all right.
Could have been the end for her.
Honestly, on July 6th, she had a tough time. She posted a picture of a garden harvest and said, ugliest damn tomatoes I've ever planted. What's wrong with those tomato emojis?
Prayers up for Queen Liz's
ugly damn tomatoes.
Oh my God.
Tootum.
I am streaming. It's a great question, Carter. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
I got a hefty group here for you.
Come on, it's been a while.
This is a content heavy season for me. Starting off first and by far most importantly, it's that time. Holiday Baking Champion season 10. Full swing. week two was riveting, exciting, excited for what week three is going to bring.
This is not greatest, Great British Baking. This is Holiday.
No, the other one. This is Holiday Baking Champion. Food Network. This is a Food Network show hosted by Jesse Palmer.
Crazy man. He judged, goes from the NFL to.
Yeah, I think he's better at this. He's it's being
that's how
judged.
You know his name.
It's being judged by Duff Goldman, who's like the cake
Duff's
boss.
Got stuff, bro. You know, Ace of Cakes, not, dude. Ace of Cakes,
and some other people whose names are escaping me right now. But it's just
Duff's
great,
my guy.
Just,
Duff's my guy in a major way, though. I do love Duff.
Him and Carla. Him and Carla are the two best judges. Yeah.
I love Carla.
Nancy just talks about how there's not enough alcohol and everything. Get her out of here.
Can I just say really quick what if you're just looking for content, if you already like food shows, the best thing that you can do to get to know some of the personalities that are going to be on any food competition show that you'll see for the rest of your life is watch some Top Chef. Watch two or three seasons of Top Chef. Guarantee you, 7 to 8 of these people you're going to see every day if you
they're
watch
the judge show. Everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
Carla had a great season. She's super fun. But
I like Carla a lot.
She's great.
Her personality is Keegan-Michael Key, like down to a T. Like she speaks like him.
Bro,
she gesticulates
like
him. Yes. I agree. Yeah. They're so much. She's so much fun. But yeah, so I'm watching Holiday Baking Champion. I'm watching Invincible Season 2. Which
good
is
start.
Just fantastic. Off to a great
start. Shout out
start.
Sterling K. Brown. What a wonderful ad.
Dude.
What a wonderful ad.
When is he bad? What is he bad at? You can't find it.
He's never been bad. I love Sterling K. Brown.
Such a great show. Also, Ben Schwartz is in season 2, which has already been fun to hear his voice. I love Benny Schwartz all the time. Also watching season 39 of The Challenge and season 45 of Survivor, both of which are delivering in
auction
every
back,
major.
Everybody on this call is on that Vivo grind.
That's true.
Loving Survivor this season.
Auction's back. Get you some fish eyes.
Yeah. It's so gross. Admire it though. I admire the gumshoe. Yeah. I really do. What about you guys? What are you streaming?
Ditto on a lot of those things. I'm also streaming. There's just been so much good anime that it has its next season up. And the great thing about anime too is either you
there'll
have a Crunchyroll subscription to where you can watch it every week, or it's just like, oh, hey, by the way, 24 new episodes. Here's a new season of it. Demon Slayer, getting started on that. The final season of Attack on Titan.
Oh, wow.
There's a lot of good stuff there. I'm also watching, there's a lot of good Bravo things right now. Winter House is back. It used to just be Summer House.
Oh, okay.
Winter House is just like, they're out in the Hamptons.
Like Summer House, but like cold.
But now it's
closer
Winter
to maybe
House.
Like December.
A lot of new Housewives. I'm finishing What We Do in the Shadows. I'm in season 4 now. And it's, man, it's so fun. I think it's up there with like Parks and Rec, the kind of feelings you have just watching. It's super short and sweet. And then it's just hilarious. I'm laughing out loud every single episode.
Yeah.
But that's mostly, it's the fall for me as a sports boy is very much football.
Mm.
And so you can't really, I mean, you can stream it. They got Amazon Prime Thursday nights. But yeah,
I mean, I'm watching three of those four shows I mentioned live. So, I mean, am I streaming?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. No one can tell. I'm also on The Challenge, also on Survivor. Right now,
Chemistry is good, by the way, as well.
Ooh, I've heard it's great.
Very good.
Oh,
Lessons in Chemistry.
Yeah, it looks good.
Muy bien, muy bien.
I've heard it's really good. Like almost as good as The Marvels. Like two of her best projects she's ever done. Probably her two best jobs of acting ever. We're also watching Our Flag Means Death because we love.
Oh, we haven't watched the second season yet.
Yeah, we're still in the first season, but we're loving it.
Okay.
If What We Do in the Shadows is a 10, let's say if you're buying the poster for What We Do in the Shadows, the show.
Which I am. Knows, yeah, well, I am, definitely.
Our Flag Means Death is what? On the scale.
Probably a 8 or a 9. I don't know. That we haven't finished the first season yet. It's not as like. Not as quick and funny as in the script as What We Do in the Shadows is. It's way more like situationally funny.
Great.
The shared DNA like is a lot quick. Of the like funny. It's funny conceptually in the way that what we do in the shadow is.
Yes.
What we do in the shadows is.
Okay.
Yeah. Great. That's a great way of putting it.
Like a lot of the jokes in both shows boil down to like, what a funny read on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if a vampire did this? Or right. What if a pirate did this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I also finished Gen V, which is a spinoff of The Boys.
Watch that.
It is certainly as good as moments that were better. And I really enjoyed
it. I need to watch it.
You definitely need to watch it.
Is it a prequel?
You're
going to
have a couple of scenes really know where you're just like, what? It is a bunch of students that are at a university for heroes. And it is just past people finding out that mute this if you're watching any of this IP when they just found out that about Compound V, that it's like your parents can choose when this happens. So it is kind of almost alongside what we just saw happen in The Boys.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds X-Men-y being at the school
very much
for superheroes.
So.
All right. We got to watch it. Sounds awesome. Yep.
I mean, you're going to have two or three scenes that you're like, that's the most obscene thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, yeah, it's The Boys, so.
But, yeah.
The Boys is closest thing as far as like content to Game of Thrones on TV right now. As far as like, whoa, okay.
Be like, weird flex, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Well, that was what we were streaming. Now we're going to play Extra Credit. For those of you that don't know, Extra Credit is the number one game in America. The number one game in America. Sweet Extra Credit uses the IMDb algorithm, unfortunately. If you ever are perusing the Internet Movie Database, you will see that any actor or actress or anybody involved in the movie business, if they've got at least four projects that they've ever done, they're going to have a known for section, which are those top four. And so what happens in Extra Credit is I give these guys a pool of personalities to pull from that they have to guess at least three of those four to stay on track to get 9 points. They need 9 points to win. They can get 15. That's your extra credit. So they're going to have three actors or actresses trying to guess all of their known fours. If they can guess all four of one actor or actress's known for, that's 5 points. So could get 15, only need 9. Our extra credit for today is Thanksgiving. So all actors, voice actors of the American dub, of the English dub. Not American. A lot of these are not American. The English dub of the Ghibli movies. So that would be Mononoke, to where we could probably find a Minnie Driver. We could find a Billy Bob Thornton, a Billy Crudup. We have Castle in the Sky. Mark Hamill is there. We've done him several times. We have Howl's Moving Castle, which might be a melting pot of bigger names. Billy Crystal, Christian Bale. Maybe you could try Josh Hutcherson. Give that a shot. And then we have Spirited Away, which doesn't have, I think of all of the movies so far, Spirited Away had the least, certainly recognizable voices. They had the most recognizable voices maybe, but names we didn't know very well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Smallest star power.
But certainly some familiar.
You know what's funny is I actually think we could get pretty close to Tara Strong.
John Ratzenberger, Tara Strong. Yeah,
probably.
I mean, my guess is it's like Batman the Animated Series, Powerpuff Girls, Rugrats. I think she was Timmy Turner.
Chemical
as well.
X.
I think she was.
Sugar, spice, and everything nice.
That's if the SNL announcer did that.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same. Did you know that?
Is that really true?
I don't know.
He's making it up.
But Professor Utonium.
Do you want to start with Christian Bale?
Sure.
Do you think that's achievable?
I mean, it's extra credit, so.
Are any of them achievable?
It's extra credit.
Sure.
Okay.
Christian Bale. Let's start with Christian Bale.
What say ye, my friends?
The Dark Knight.
I think so.
That's wild if the Dark Knight's not in there. The Dark
Knight. We've seen crazier. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number one.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So is it the Machinist? Is that the thing that he lost all the weight for and won an Oscar?
Skinny Christian. Yep.
Did we think that's
the Machinist. Lock it in.
Sure. Yeah. Lock it in.
Bong bong.
I think the Prestige could be there.
I think in my mind, the contenders for these last two spots are both of the
He's
other
only
Batmans.
Ever won one Oscar, by the way.
Go was it Machinist, Machinist or something else?
It was not for the Machinist.
Oh, I thought he won.
Did he win for Vice?
Maybe. That sounds familiar.
I think he might have won for Vice. So
Vice
I think
could be
we've
there.
Got, that's what I'm saying. I think it's either Vice, the Prestige, or one of the two remaining Batmans.
He didn't win for Vice.
Oh.
Let's go Vice anyway.
Vice.
Vice, lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
All right. Oh, off to a great start.
Thank you, Christian Bale.
Batman Begins.
Batman Begins.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. You got 2 points there. Number one, The Dark Knight. Number two, Batman Begins. Number three, American Psycho.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough.
Number four. Yeah.
That'll be it.
American Hustle.
Ah.
Okay.
He
number
won
five
for The Fighter,
is
which
American
is a
Batman.
Wonderful movie.
The Fighter is
The Fighter
really
is great. He did not even get nominated for The Machinist.
But he got skinny for it.
He got skinny for it, man. You can't, I mean, you can't always Leto your way into Oscars.
Not even Leto can most of the time.
So we got
not even
two
most
points.
Of the time Leto.
Did you see that he climbed the Empire State Building as a promo for 30 Seconds to Mars?
Who cares?
Like he climbed the outside of it as
Who
a
cares?
Promo
yeah.
for his band 30 Seconds to Mars.
It's not, it made the podcast, you know. So
and here cares. I am giving him press about it. Now everybody knows he did it.
We got Emily Mortimer, Blythe Danner, Lauren Bacall, Gene Simmons.
This is him realizing Billy there's Crystal. Not that many options.
No, there's definitely options.
Billy Crystal might be fun.
Ooh, that'll be a tough one.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
I don't think Billy Crystal will be that tough. You think?
Let's
you
try
think,
Bill.
You think he will be?
William Crystalline.
Yeah.
William Crystal. We're going for it.
When Harry Met Sally.
Yeah, it's for sure When Harry
Lock
Met Sally.
Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bing, 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 bing. Number three.
Monsters Incorporated, I think, probably.
Yeah, Monsters, Inc. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
What?
You know when somebody's like, Billy Crystal, and they're like, yeah, Mike Wazowski? No, not him.
Isn't Billy Crystal in Princess Bride?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's Miracle Max.
Yeah.
Have fun storming the castle.
Yeah. Princess Bride. Lock
I think
it in.
Princess Bride will be there. Princess Bride, lock it in.
Bong bong.
Yeah.
All right. We cannot win this game now. It is not possible for us to win this game.
Actually,
oh,
it is.
No, if we get this next one right and then the third person perfect, we can win this game.
Yep. That's the beauty. That's the beauty of extra credit.
That's how I that's what say. I would call it for sure. 100%.
Hey, name one. Just one.
Dude, I hate to Billy be the Crystal guy that movie. Says Monsters University could be there, but
oh my God.
It's definitely possible.
It's Disney Infinity. It's a video game where he played Mike Wazowski.
Spirited Away. I mean, Howl's Moving Castle could. I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't either. If Monsters, Inc. is not, I feel like Howl's Moving Castle definitely is not.
Billy Crystal wasn't an SNL guy.
SNL is never in the top four, I think.
That just can't be true for everybody.
Well, I'm sure like Sebastian Maniscalco is in his top four, but what else has he done?
Was he ever in SNL? What a weird poll.
No, what's his name? What's the guy's name? Who's on now?
The Crab?
Yeah, Sebastian the Crab. That's right. Yep. Who am I thinking of? What
I
is
don't
that
know.
Feature player's name?
Is there a Sebastian on SNL right now?
We'll get there. We'll get there. Just wait. Just chill. Just hang on. Hey, I don't know who I was referring to.
Wait, I don't either.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't either.
That's fine.
You said Sebastian Maniscalco, which is close
here.
To a real person.
Yeah.
Sebastian Maniscalco is a
sin Carcimon?
Yeah, Carcimon. That's who I'm talking about. The fire demon.
Carcimon.
car semen, the fire demon.
Let's go. Love a good rhyme. Let's go Monsters University.
Monsters University. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Yeah.
Number one, Forget Paris. Number two, City Slickers.
Okay, we should have gotten that one.
Number three, When Harry Met Sally. And then number four, Analyze This.
I've heard of three of the four, and we should have gotten City Slickers. That one was...
Another great thing about extra credit is it can't just end unless you've done all three actors. You've got to get through the last one.
Beg to differ.
We have 3 points. Let's see if we can get four. Who will it be?
Let's do Tara Strong.
Yeah.
Dang.
Tara Strong.
Of Spirited Away.
Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls.
Lock it in.
One second.
No, lock it in right now.
One second.
Right now.
Bing, bing. Number two.
Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah. Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Rugrats. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
Bong bong.
Loki. Lock it in. She's Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes. The clock.
No, there's no way. Loki, lock it in. There's no chance. 0% chance.
Bong bong. You got 4 points.
Yeah.
I thought you could. Yay. Number one, Batman the Killing Joke. She was Barbara Gordon.
That movie wasn't even good.
Number two, the Powerpuff Girls. Number three, My Little Pony, the movie, Princess Twilight. Number four, Batman Arkham City, Harleen Quinzel.
Is that the first video game we've ever seen in a top four?
It might be, yeah. Maybe.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe. She's making money though, dude. She's got.
She's like, do you want to take a guess? Single most prolific voice actor ever. She's in.
If you
everything.
Can give me how many, like how we do with A Star Was Born, how many projects she's been attached to.
Oh, God.
If you can give me within 10 of the actual number, I'll give you another actor.
Can I tell you something crazy about me? The first number that jumped out to me, I just had a gut feeling that it was 631, but that feels too big, right?
That feels like a lot, but probably not by as much of a margin as we think.
Yeah.
I would say she's probably in the, 300s doesn't sound that crazy to me. Maybe 200, upper 200s. Do you want to go like
Yeah, because I guess they won't count individual episodes. They're not going to count
they won't.
Every
I won't
Harley
count, I won't count her upcoming projects either.
Okay. Do you want to go like 280?
Yeah, that feels good. 283.
283. Sure. Lock it in, I guess. I don't know.
$637.
Whoa, dude.
No way.
What was the number you said?
631.
No, you didn't. You said 631?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What?
I was like, that's too big. That number just jumped to me. I don't know. My Tara senses were tingling.
Dude, I mean, she, especially in the late 90s and the early 2000s, she was in everything. But even still, I think she's like.
Yeah.
Unbelievable, dude.
I was so close.
Yeah, that's wild how close
that's
you were.
That's crazy.
Wow, wow, wow. Well done on that. I mean,
well,
I'm
Carter,
impressed.
We lost extra credit. Are you happy now? Having fun on this recording finally?
I'm happy now. Coming soon. I want to do a couple more here. We'll do some Rumpelstiltskin.
We've seen Guess the Name. Win the Rumpelstiltskin game.
This is when I jump on over to Flixster, tell these guys a synopsis of a movie that's coming out, and they have to try and guess the title of that movie. We have... Coming out December 1st, 2023, as we get into this holiday season. This is a Andrea Eckerbaum flick, 76 minutes. It's a kids, family, holiday comedy, and adventure genre.
While 76? Visiting a Christmas
is that
market.
The number of minutes you said?
76.
76. Yeah.
Wow.
While visiting a Christmas market in her Norwegian town, 8-year-old Marianne. Suddenly sees an unbelievable sight on the top shelf of a carnival game booth. The most adorable stuffed teddy bear has just moved his head and sneezed. If feeling an instant connection with the living stuffed animal. Marianne can't think of any better Christmas wish than to win him as a prize. But when someone else wins Teddy, it's up to him and his new hedgehog friend, I came out of nowhere, Boya, to reconnect with Marianne and discover the true impact, the true importance of family and friendship. Was it Kaud?
It's probably called like the Christmas Bear or something dumb. I think I'm gonna officially guess the Christmas Bear, but I'm gonna go on record and say that I wish it was called Have Yourself a Berry Little Christmas.
Mm.
Love it.
I'll bear home for Christmas.
It's called Teddy's Christmas. You got Christmas right. That one was lame. I have to show you the poster for this one. But we have another holiday classic soon to be coming out December 1st, PG, a Stephanie Garvin flick. Kids, family, holiday, comedy, romance. This movie centers on a high-powered female executive. Wait, did we already do this one?
There's 100 movies that have that in the synopsis, so I don't know.
Wait. Read it. No, read it, because guaranteed, if we've done it, we won't remember the name of it.
That's actually legitimately true. That's true.
Centers on a high-powered female executive and grinchy workaholic CEO.
We've definitely done this one. Yep.
Okay. We have? Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember the name of it.
Whose whole world comes crashing down because of unforeseen circumstances despite her self-perceived importance.
How do you know done this?
I remember the phrase grinchy workaholic.
With help from a Salvation Army Santa.
Okay, and a little now holiday I'm remembering magic. This. Now I'm remembering.
Yeah.
The protagonist finally realizes the key to letting go of her painful past is the answer to becoming the twinkling light that both her community and her family need. It's sure to inspire audiences to be resilient, forgiving, and transformative.
What's it called?
The actress's name who plays the lead feels like they have a Hallmark character name. It's Kelly Stables.
Yeah. That's pretty Hallmark.
We've already done this one, so it's not.
What's
fair.
It called?
What's it called?
Holiday Twist.
That sucks.
We did it backwards. That's why we don't remember it. Is because we played that one in Nixit Slepmore, backwards Rumpelstiltskin.
Yep.
Because we had to guess what Holiday Twist was about.
Releasing just in time for Thanksgiving, November 24th, an hour and 29 minutes. A Dominic Ross flick, horror mystery thriller. A group of social justice warriors, in a quest to free an innocent man, search an abandoned campground for a serial killer, but each gets picked off one by one until it comes down to one person versus the prolific killer.
I mean, it's got to just be Thanksgiving.
Mm.
Or Shanksgiving.
Shout out to December 8th on Peacock, the release of Mr. Monk's Last Case. It is a Monk movie.
My guy, Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub. Yeah.
Shalhoub, there it is.
That's not what this is. That's not what this is, though. That's not what this movie is. Thanksgiving is the Jordan guess?
Is it a Thanksgiving movie or is it just coming out around Thanksgiving?
The 24th? Is Thanksgiving on the 24th this year?
No.
Okay. Then it's around Thanksgiving.
Oh, I thought it was a Thanksgiving movie.
The 24th is 1 week from today as the crow flies, but the Friday before this episode releases.
The name of this movie.
Wait, I didn't even guess yet.
Still haven't, as far as I can tell.
Don't get stabbed in the dark.
Don't get stabbed in the dark.
It's probably what it is.
It's called You're All Gonna Die.
Hey, I win because mine was a sentence like this one was.
You do. Lastly.
I was misled.
Directed by U-Nuts. Y-O-U-N-U-T-S. U-Nuts. It's a comedy. Very simply, an unconventional elf and a shy boy meet and discover the value of friendship.
This movie's called Rudolph, but with people.
Dudolph.
Is that your guess, Doge? Dudolph?
No, I think my guess is, oh, Christmas D's.
Dude off the real cool chill guy chill needs guy. To find some confidence. Dance. His best friend is an elf who wants to be some kind of dentist.
The movie is called Elf Me.
Like supposed that's to funny. Be like F me.
It's about what I'd expect.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. A few more things of note, sure. Not within the game, but Hannah Waddingham.
Uh-huh.
She's got a little special called Home for Christmas, and it's just her singing with a bunch of friends. It's like
and Phil Luke Dunster, Evans. Who's Jamie Tartt, is singing as well. Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen Leslie her come Odom out Jr. and sing the song from A Star Is Born with Jason Sudeikis and Will Forte?
Uh-huh.
It's so cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. I watched that. It's very good. Man. Lots of good Christmas movies coming out, man. I almost wish we could kind of dive into a few of them, but I guess we'll see. How the Gringo Stole Christmas.
Oh.
That's George interesting. Lopez flick. George Lopez.
Mr. Electricidad? Wow.
Mr. Electricidad? Let's go shout announcements.
Let's do it.
Shout announcements. That's a ghost. That's the shout announcements ghost.
Kind of a friendly uh-huh. ghost, it seems.
They're gone now. It's just us. And this is the part of the show where we give shout outs and make announcements. Want to give a shout out, of course, to Christmas lights. I love the way they twinkle and sparkle.
I was like, who are we giving a shout out to? We didn't talk about this.
We never yeah, do.
Christmas lights.
Love those Christmas lights. Love the good work they're doing. Shout out to them. Keep it up. There's this neighborhood around us that does like candy cane lane style. Just like everybody goes balls to the wall on their decor. And there's like this one little street that's like a cul-de-sac that you can just like park along the side and go for like a winter wonderland walk. And I'm looking forward to doing
that. Love that. That's fun. That's a lot of fun. We have in that Christmas spirit, our next series. Very excited. We had a conversation not too long ago about how...
Before you finish this, could you dial down the intensity? You're like too excited.
Yeah.
Too animated I'm about sorry. This. Yeah.
It's one I'm really excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe... And see, when you say it like that, I believe it.
Whoa, it feels like you're never going to believe what we're doing next.
I can't believe it. I'm tired of doing good movies, to be honest.
Yeah. Same.
Not as much fun. To just Farley about all these good movies. I'm ready for bad ones.
Same. And so some stinkums.
We're bringing back something that would, I would say, be one of the infinity stones of what makes this podcast powerful, and that's Christmas movies, especially bad Christmas movies. We've been streaming of A White Christmas. We've decked the Hallmarks. And then this year, it's going to be an Oh Christmas stream. Each of us will go and look at all the streaming platforms that exist because all of them have at least 20 titles, new, brand new. Even with the strike, you can produce 40 Hallmark movies. You can do 10 things for Netflix. We're each going to pick a movie and bring it to the O Christmas stream.
I have a suggestion
square
that I'm going to pitch live, which is always fun to put the pressure on. I think we Secret Santa this and each, like I pick one for Doge, Doge picks one for Carter, Carter picks one for me. We pick movies that person... Like it's geared towards them and their interests and the things that
that's
they're
fun.
Into.
That's fun.
I love that.
So like I'll bring a Doge movie. Doge brings a Carter movie. Carter brings a Jordan movie.
Great.
Cool. I love
Doge
it.
Doge brings a Carter movie?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Easy.
So I'll bring one that like a baby would like.
Yeah. I'll look for one that sucks, dude.
I'll look for one that somebody who's like not that strong.
Yeah.
Or powerful would enjoy watching.
That
would
like for a really, be it.
Like for a really weak
like for a child. Dude.
For a weak baby, unpowerful person.
And I'll look for like a Hallmark movie about a Christmas T-Rex who reads books about milk hurting its stomach.
That's perfect, dude. Absolutely
Do
perfect.
We want to go new releases only, like 2023 releases only?
I have the biggest challenge because There's hardly ever any angst in these Christmas movies.
Yeah, a goofy movie's just not a Christmas movie, is it? So what are you going to pick?
Maybe not for you.
I'm literally wearing my Powerline shirt right now. I know. It's appropriate for what we're going to talk about soon.
Did you watch that? There's a movie. It's about like an ice skating team. I feel like Jordan would like it.
He's going to do a bit. Wait for it.
No, I'm not. It's called Rink.
Yeah. It's not a bit. It's real. It's real.
It's a real movie about Eric Rink Rinker, who owns a cat washing company.
Starring Henry Winkler.
Do we want to do 2023 new releases, or are we going for something that's aged a bit?
No, let's go vintage. Fresh. Let's go freshies.
Okay, I agree.
There's plenty of fresh.
Because these guys honestly don't keep long. We got to eat them this year.
Yeah. They're gonna spoil.
We're gonna lose our memories like Lindsay Lohan did.
I'm gonna find her most. I'm gonna find the Trumpiest, whitest.
I'm nightmaring of a woke Christmas.
Oh, I can't say Merry Christmas anymore. What are you gonna do? Shoot me?
Unhappy holidays.
This season, Grandma's got a gun.
And we like that.
And that's a good thing. And she's also a senator.
Starring Gator Queen Liz.
Ooh, Queen Liz.
She's here. I'm so excited to research.
Me too.
Same.
Me too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Back to the show.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We're going to talk about Spirited Away, but before we do that, I do need a synopsis from our good friend, Dosh.
This week's IMDb synopsis is written by Evan Almindo. I just wanted to try it.
Sebastian Manilalo.
Hey, just so we're on the same page, I think that I was thinking of Michael Longfellow.
Oh, I see how those are similar.
Yeah, both names.
They are both names.
Start with capital letter, end with lowercase, bunch of lowercase in between. Really, the similarities are there if you look.
Yeah.
Evan Almindo says, a young girl named Chihiro becomes trapped in a mysterious place after her parents accidentally enter a seemingly abandoned amusement park. As Chihiro navigates this strange realm, she embarks on a journey to find her way back to her own world. To do so, she must adapt and overcome challenges while displaying resilience and determination. Throughout her adventure, Chihiro encounters various spirits, some friendly and others less so.
And others, not so much.
This was so Alice in Wonderland to me in a good way. I was not anticipating the like... I didn't really know what I was getting into with this, to be honest. I didn't really know much about this movie. I just knew that it was highly regarded.
Won the Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
Deserved. Mm-hmm. It was so charming, so weird in a good way. Like, I'm going to I'm going to super pump right now just so that I can get it off my chest because it's weighing me down. But this is the one finally. And this is kind of a collective super pump for all four movies. But Joe Hisaishi doing the Lord's work out here on these films.
Yeah.
I mean, the soundtrack is just, it's perfect. It totally encapsulates the weird wonder, strange spirituality. I don't know. I just loved the music of this movie. And I thought that it was spectacular and it was like jaunty and fun and serious and foreboding. And I don't know if you guys watch with subtitles. I like to watch particularly these movies with subtitles just for the help with the names. Cause I feel like I hear the names wrong a lot. And so like watching it with subtitles, it was always like foreboding upbeat music. And it's like, that is exactly what it is. It is both foreboding and upbeat.
Dead on.
That's fun.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really particularly loved the soundtrack in this one. But I've loved the music in all of these. It's maybe the overarching strongest point of these films to me.
Soundtrack was definitely one that I've heard before, right? Maybe it's because the pianist in North Park was playing it on the piano or something, you know. But here's what's interesting. I just talked about on Howl's Moving Castle, Miyazaki just kind of letting the story write itself. This one was a bit carried away for me. I think because I don't think hype helped it either.
Sure.
This is definitely the one that shows up as like 100 movies to watch before you die. It's like in the top 40 on IMDb in terms of its rating. Yeah. It wins that Oscar. But in the grand Ghibli of things, not close to my favorite. I think the thing for me with this one, and it was so bizarre. And I also had said like Ghibli feels like 80s movies that are kind of like fantasy adjacent, like Labyrinth and Time Bandits.
Totally.
That you're like, I don't really know what's going on, but it looks cool. This one was so far from being able to understand. And I think it's because it was so long. It felt like a nursery rhyme that was made into 2 hours. Hmm. It was just like we filled so much space with really interesting looking things and characters and good voice acting that didn't really do anything.
Yeah.
Didn't really do anything to the plot for me. I don't know. It also just felt like a random smattering of tall tales that they just threw into one thing. You know, it's like, hey, Paul Bunyan, it's like an American version would be like Paul Bunyan cut down the trees that he could help with the train race and lasso in this tornado. It just like, it got so, so wild.
No, dude, I completely agree.
That it was hard to follow.
It totally felt like Paul Bunyan cut down the tree to build the shoe house for the mother who lives in the house of the shoe with her kids.
Yeah.
And like Humpty Dumpty was there. And he like, that's kind of what it felt like is like, we just combined bunch of different things.
So like maybe a less elegant Shrek.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Sure. way less.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it still ends up, I mean, so many of just the core things that needed to make a good animated movie, especially a good Ghibli movie, it had, which was great music, great animation,
beautiful voice animation.
Acting. This voice acting crew was like the Avengers of people you never knew. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like knew
my
their
boy
names.
Max Goof is just have done Jason Marsden.
We've got Max Goof. We've got Squidward. Mm-hmm. We've got Bubbles. We've got like
Lilo.
All of these really familiar
voices. What's
her voices?
Face from Hercules?
Lilo and Stitch.
Oh
Meg?
Yeah.
Meg from Hercules. Can I super dump actually?
Sure.
I don't think that she's a bad voice actor because she certainly got a lot of work around this time. DeVay Chase.
Davey.
Who? Davey?
I think so.
Don't spell it like that.
She didn't pick it.
There's a real
it's Lilo.
Way. It's Lilo.
She's Lilo.
And she did the same thing in her performance as Lilo as she does here, which is like there's lines and then there's just like utterances that are so unbelievably grating to me. And that's a me thing. 100%. That's a me thing.
Sure.
But Davey. But
it's your.
Davey is my super dump for this movie because it just at points was just like, oh my God, I cannot deal with any more of those sounds.
The decision
to
have her yell half of her lines at the top of her lungs is my super dump as well. Like,
oh my gosh, it's so grating.
She is both a lot of the heart of this movie and also the worst part of this movie.
Yeah.
Sure. And it's weird because she needed to be a jarring addition to another world. Mm-hmm. She needed to be something that felt out of place, that needed to actually be annoying to some of the people there outside of her just being a human. Right. Like, hey.
Yeah.
And also to have some kind of substance of like, because it felt like from the beginning, okay, she's going to become better. Like this is going to, she's going to be a better person sure. leaving this spirit town. But it happened very late in the movie. Like she still was just her for 90%
See,
of that movie.
I don't think it was about her becoming better. Things. I think it was about her becoming braver, I think is the whole point of yeah. the movie.
And I didn't mean, yeah, it makes sense. Braver.
Because I think she does
I knew that
there
was going to be something that she would have to do.
That's just my read on it though, because I understand where you're coming from that she doesn't really change all that much. But for me, it starts with the Boilerman. Like
yeah.
having to be brave and push back when he says no job is the first thing that she does. Anyway, none of that matters. I agree. Yeah. I think that I don't know. This movie really clicked for me. A lot of the weirdness here is like exactly sure. my flavor in some really fun ways.
It felt equal
like a
parts
Beatles album.
Yeah. yeah, for real. It felt equal parts Pan's Labyrinth and Coco to me.
Dude, Pan's Labyrinth big time too. I see both of those.
100.
Yeah. It was actually a huge inspiration for Coco. It's cited like throughout the development process of that movie, referred to Spirited Away as like, what do we want the vibe of this to kind of be like the vibe of the spirit world?
Yeah. Totally unsurprising to me.
I'd take Miguel over Sin any day. But
I would too.
Yeah.
And also, there's a lesson there. Ophelia? Is Ophelia in, is that her name in Pan's Labyrinth?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm. Princess?
And it's also tough coming hot off of Markle, who was so much fun and so charming, to come from Markle to Sin is tough.
Yeah.
Also,
and that's not Meghan Markle. That's Markle of Howl's Castle.
Anyway. That's true. I also just want to say, if you're going to write a movie for children, maybe don't have them taste test a poop ball. I just don't know. When she had it, I was like, it's going to be some kind of rock that's a special gem that's able to. No, it's a poop ball that she feeds to people to make them throw up. Evil?
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense to me.
Fair enough.
I don't know what the big deal is with that. That's how science is.
Do you mind if I just wax poetically briefly about some things that I really loved in this movie?
Go for it.
No Face. No Face was so odd. I've never seen
that's a
character
a great word for it.
Like No Face in my entire life. And I don't even know how to explain it if somebody has never seen this other than Ghost with a mask whose mouth is his torso. And I think mask is just for decoration like an anglerfish. And I guess when he eats things, he kind of becomes them and steals attributes of them because he eats a frog, becomes a big frog, and talks like the frog. I don't know. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But I found him so much fun and so weird. And same with the stink monster. The stink monster yeah. was just like, I know 7-year-old me would have been like, he's made of poop.
Yeah.
Would have loved it. The whole thing. I want to bathe in one of those herbal baths. It looks delectable. Yeah.
Looks nice.
Just so much fun. And on top of that, I love the Miyazaki take on like the long dragon, how its face is like
super
almost
pumped.
Wolf-like. Yeah, talk about it.
Super
it's so
pumped.
Sick.
It's the coolest dragon design.
So cool.
I am at a point in my life where, and I'm sorry to all of you listening to this who are
back
reading
Zelda.
Who are reading Big Fourth time. Wing and Iron Flame and the dragon books that are real popular right now. I'm over reptile dragons. Reptile dragons, been there, done it. Give me flying wolf dragons. That's way cooler. Stuff like Falcor and then stuff like these dragons, that's way cooler to me.
I like both. I got room in my heart for both, I think.
I'm over dinosaur bat dragons.
I don't think I know how to get over them.
They've been done and they've had their time in the sun.
I like them. But yeah, I hear you. I think that the design, first of all, very Zelda.
I think Zelda is actually very this.
Correct. Both of which I think are just the Japanese interpretation of dragons.
100%.
Which is so sick.
Which is cooler.
But yeah, I don't know. I loved Haku's dragon looked so cool. And the scene of him like outpacing all those little like paper things at the beginning when it's just like shooting past him. So yeah. Sick. I don't know. Dude, I can't think of people in this movie who weren't kind of cool to me. Like, it just all worked so well for me. And that's not to say that I'm unaware of some of the pacing is weird in this movie. And like,
yeah,
it is.
I'm not really sure if it goes anywhere.
How interesting is it that Yubaba has a pet bird that has her same face?
I love it.
Like, what the heck? Can weird. I let me go ahead and super dump.
Please.
What did we call the faceless demon?
No face.
What was this? No, it was just no face.
No face, yeah. Easy to remember.
What happened to no face?
What do you mean?
You know.
What do you mean?
At the end of the movie,
he got left.
What happens to no
face? He's spinning silk with, he got left with Granny.
He's just spinning silk with Granny.
He found a purpose. He found something he's good at.
No.
Yes.
That's
exactly
dumb.
What happened.
Sure. What a lazy let the storyboard write that part for you. Hey, drew a lovely picture of him sitting down spinning silk with Granny. I know, but it's like I have seen No Face. When you talk about Studio Ghibli, it's like Totoro and No Face.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
those are the two things that I see the most. And I couldn't wait. Here it comes. Here's all these things. Oh my God, amazing. It's growing. And as long as you accept something from it, now it can devour you because of your greed to devour, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
The pleasantries or gold or something like that. And then the end is just like, you want to come? Which Ghibli's done before. Like a lot of the times, villains or henchmen just end up being a part of the party. And we're like, oh, well, yeah. I probably should have killed him, but you can come. All of that to it just being like, oh, we're good now. Like this is maybe the strongest evil in this whole land. It was just way too much of a lead up for the payoff to me. There was so much interesting things about it. How only No Face could see her, even when she's holding her breath across the bridge, right? This ominous, weird, not knowing yet its true form, kind of seeing through it sometimes. Yeah. It's swallowing things and taking on how they talk. It reminded me of that bear, the zombie bear in Annihilation.
Ooh, yeah. Good pull.
That just sounds like other people you might know. And it's this terrifying... And the payoff was such boo-boo to me.
I think
I agree.
It was so lazy.
I agree. I think he should have been more like thematically tied into something that she was going to grow or develop. I agree. It felt like a weird tack on.
I think there's been a theme throughout the Miyazaki films that we've watched and honestly just throughout a lot of Japanese media that I have consumed where it's like evil and good are not binary states of being. And like, it seems like a lot of times, like there's like these like demons or spirits or whatever, they're not evil. They just do bad things and like can be tamed or changed.
Yeah. They can do whatever they want. Totally, they're kind of just forces of nature. It's like Godzilla, right?
Yeah.
Godzilla is not a villain, not a hero. Godzilla is like a hurricane.
Yeah. 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 That's kind of how I was viewing it because it's clear that Yubaba is like the villain, but even she is not.
And I'm telling you, like my viewing it of in that way, with what we did with the spirit of the forest and everybody in Princess Mononoke, what we did with the castle itself and how it seemed to be a bit cerebral and it made its decision to get rid of all of the mechanics of the world and stick to nature and shoot itself into the sky.
Like
that already makes kind of sense in that overall arching thing. So to have that and then have the very last movie with the most recognizable character with so much screen time not pay off well, that's what
I get that.
About.
I get that for
it's
sure.
Like I saw that theme and this was the worst execution of the theme and I couldn't believe
it. Well, let me tell you.
I was like, that's what a
bummer. I'm so thankful. This is kind of a meta conversation at this point, but I'm so thankful that Princess Mononoke made the cut because first movie, best movie. It is
agreed.
Far and away, by a mile, the best of the four movies that we have watched. It is cohesive front to back with a story that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, a soundtrack that won't quit, voice acting that's awesome, animation that was groundbreaking and still holds up and is still cool. Princess Mononoke, the fact that I'm going to shame you and then I'm going to kiss you, listeners, the fact that you almost let that not be in this series is honestly insane to me.
That went to a tiebreaker. I don't know if we said that on the show. That went to a tiebreaker in Discord. It was going to be either Princess Mononoke or My Neighbor Totoro.
Which I would have loved to have watched as well. So that would have been fun. But like the fact that y'all barely got Mononoke through is so shocking to me. And it makes me question why it wasn't the first place movie by a long shot. But also, I'm so thankful it made it. Because I'm glad I watched it.
Yeah. If I was to rank from my favorite to least favorite of the four. And again, it's like we'd never seen Pixar before or something, right? And so we're ranking four good movies. But would be Howl's Moving Castle is still my favorite.
That feels like an extremely Carter movie to me. I don't know why it does, but Carter. It super does.
That means a lot. That means a lot to hear. And then Princess Mononoke. Yeah. And then I'll save the other ones because we haven't even rated this movie yet.
Yeah. I'll super pump.
Do it.
Do it then.
The Boiler Man.
He's awesome.
It's extremely cool. And like has same face as Dr. Eggman.
Yes,
he does. Which is fine. Mm-hmm. But like the way that they, I don't know. I think he looks more
like the guy from Dragon Ball Z.
Old
guy from Dragon Ball Z. That's how he looks the most like to me.
I think I was expecting them to do with almost all of the other monsters, what they did with Boiler Man, where it's like scary at first, but that's just because we don't understand him.
Yeah.
He's ultimately very kind, even though he has spider arms. Like, I don't know. I think I really enjoyed the execution of that, of like, I don't understand the spirit world. It's scary because it's foreign to me and like doesn't make sense to me. But then I realize he's just a person with a weird shaped body. And I kind of thought that would carry through to like, you know, I thought we would get that from...
I agree.
The three heads that were jumping around. I thought we would get that from... from No Face. Ultimately, and we didn't get it from No Face. Like, I don't know. I think I really liked that with him and thought we would get it with others.
Yeah.
The baby just being Tommy Pickles was hilarious to me.
Yeah.
That was funny. That was really funny. Boiler Room Man. We should probably know his actual...
Kamaji, I believe, is his name.
Yeah.
Kamaji reminded me of the worms from Men in Black.
Yeah.
Interesting.
The guys that are like, hey, that are basically all Cheech.
Yeah.
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 work for headquarters. They're like NASA. Just these brilliant guys who just pull it all together in the background. My super pump is, I'll just call it like the mess. Like it was just this thing that was like, I felt like I was watching my 3-year-old niece put together a show. And she was just coming up with some stuff, but there was still a charm to it. Like it didn't put any bad Ghibli taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
So it was like just the rand, absolutely. And I'm glad that we said, I think it was you, Jordan, that said Alice in Wonderland.
That's the vibe for me.
Alice in Wonderland was one of my favorite like first Disney movies. Like on VHS. I mean, I'm watching this as like a 6-year-old kid.
I wonder if we'd seen this when we were six, I wonder if we would feel the same way about it.
Very possible. You know what
I mean? Like I wonder if this had been like a staple of my childhood, if I would be like, yeah, it doesn't make sense, but come on.
Oh yeah.
It's Spirited Away.
Right.
It doesn't have to because it's so good, you know?
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm finding myself landing in this conversation is like, yeah, no, I completely agree with like all the negatives of it. It just, something about it really worked. The weirdness of it seems like the draw versus like the cohesiveness of it. But I get it. I 100% get it.
And it's also different. So that's my super pump. I think at the end of all these four movies, despite where I would rank Spirited Away, I think this is the one that I could recall the most characters to you.
Sure.
I could probably say 20. I could be like Turnip Spirit. And you're like, you know who I'm talking
Radish.
About.
It was Radish Spirit.
Radish Spirit. But you still knew, didn't you?
So yeah.
Prove my point.
How similar is, how similar do you feel like your position is, Jordan, on this, where it's like, it doesn't make sense. I don't really care. To people who like the wailing that we talked about a couple weeks ago, where it's just like, yeah, it's cool scenes. It doesn't really hang together. Yeah.
Probably a pretty similar position to take. I don't think I feel as strongly about this as a lot of people feel about the wailing, but
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably pretty similar. I think we should rate this movie and then rank the four Ghibli movies that we've seen and kind of walk through that if we feel good about that.
And also rate it according to our Chili's O-meter.
Yes, of course.
That's something we have to do.
Yes, of course. We're going to rate this movie using the Scientific Cinema Scale, which is perfect, and as follows. The best thing we could ever say about a movie is own it, don't lend it.
Buy that poster.
The next best thing is buy it. That's followed by rent it and then stream it. After that is forget it. And last but certainly least, the worst thing we could ever say about a movie.
God hath forsaken us.
I'll go first.
I'm going to give. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, you will.
I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy this about the same as I buy Howl's for different reasons. Different pros, different cons, but about the same reaction from me. I think I get this movie. But it doesn't hit for me as much as I think I wanted it to before pressing play, but I think I get it more than I was expecting to in a weird way. So yeah, there's a buy for me.
I'm going to rent it. I think I like it about the same, maybe just under Castle in the Sky. I think I was like, it's, I don't know. I don't want to yuck anybody's yum who voted for this and was like, I love it. It's the best one ever. I think I was let down by this. I think the decades and decades of hype of like the best movie in the world, the best movie in the world, you got to see it. It just didn't live up to that for me. And I don't know if that's a me thing, if that's a Spirited Away thing, or just maybe it's a be 30 years old and watch a cartoon thing.
Sure.
And it's just not going to be what you need it to be. But I'll give it a, what did I say? Buy? I'll buy it.
It's definitely not. There's really good animated stuff that we watch. So I don't think it's because it's a cartoon. We were just talking about Invincible on our
sure, yeah.
Earlier in the episode and stuff like that. I rent it. And I think even without hype, if I'm watching it with these other three movies and just comparing it to these other three, it's not my favorite.
Sure.
And so I still had a lot of fun. I get it. I think it's not hard for me to find reasons people would love something.
Sure.
And this is chock full of it. I mean, my super pump was just how messy it was in a really beautiful sure. way. And so I rent Spirited Away.
Well, let's do our Chili's scale real quick.
We have to now rate this movie according to the Chili's-o-meter, which is perfect. And as follows, would you rather go to Chili's or watch this movie?
I'd rather watch this movie than go to Chili's.
I'd rather go to Chili's.
That's fair.
I think I'd rather go to Chili's.
I think I'd be joining you, Josh.
Yeah. I think I'd rather go to Chili's. Yep.
Chili's is pretty great.
Yep.
I get it.
It's too bad. I'm glad it's not a Cane's scale because I don't know if any movie on earth has ever been better than Cane's.
That's why Chili's is honestly, I know it's a bit.
Yeah.
Chili's is such a great eating experience to use for that scale.
Dude, Chili's contains multitudes. Let's rank these movies. Let's start at the back. This is your personal. This is not like a podcast whole rating, but let's rank these movies fourth to first and just kind of quick rapid fire discussion about it as we go. Because I think Ghibli's like an important touchstone. I think it's good to kind of sum it all up here.
Yeah.
I don't mind starting. My fourth place is Castle in the Sky. I liked it. I didn't love it. It's the one of these four that I would, I'm least likely to ever revisit, I think.
It's Castle in the Sky for me too. Last place for me as well.
Man, I don't want to do ties or anything.
Then don't.
I enjoyed Castle in the Sky more than Spirited Away.
It's close for me, dude. I'm so in between.
I'm going to say I'll do Castle in the Sky last too, just because Spirited Away is much more, there's a lot of rewatchability with that.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much going on you could miss
it. I did like Castle in the Sky. I didn't hate it, but the gulf between fourth and third is almost as wide as my gulf between second and first, but not quite. The gulf between fourth and third is pretty big for me. And I think for me, third place is Spirited Away.
Third for me too.
Spirited Away is my fourth place. I'm just going to say, yeah, it's fourth. For
okay.
Me.
Yeah.
Spirited Away is last. Castle in the Sky is third.
Fair enough. Third. Yeah. Spirited Away.
So we all have the same order. Aside from those two, we've got the same order then.
I don't think so. Not for Carter.
No.
Spirited Away, I liked a lot as a whole package. Whereas my second place, I liked the first 90% of it way more than all of Spirited Away. The last 10% really just falls apart for me in a way that I can't abide. My second place is Howl's Moving Castle.
Mine too, yeah.
Mine's Mononoke. Absolutely cannot deny that it is the cleanest. It is the narratively the prettiest package. And then also has just so much more. I think Lord Huron, the boy and the heron, I think is going to lean closer to Mononoke from what I've heard in terms of being a touch more mature. I think that's a really good space for Ghibli movies.
It is for Jordan.
And so I'm hoping that that's what we do again.
Cool.
But yeah, it's Princess Mononoke is second for me.
It's first for me. Mononoke is first place for me.
I have thought about Princess Mononoke every day since we watched it. It's a serious contender.
I want to watch it again really soon.
It's a serious contender for a top 10 film of all time for me, I think. I just adored every second of it. I would buy the poster and hang it in this office space for real, for real. I mean, Princess Mononoke.
I have a tab open on my phone of all the Mononoke posters I could buy.
Do you really?
I would love, I have like spot right there in my office where I want to hang one.
I have found myself straight up obsessed with Princess Mononoke. I probably will rewatch it within the next couple of weeks because I kind of want to show people this move. Like,
yeah,
I'm just blown away by Mononoke. I'm so glad it made the cut for this series. I think it is, by a wide margin, my favorite movie of the four.
I'm very interested to watch like some of the other ones that are ranked higher on the tomato meter. There's like a couple that have 100%, a couple that have 99, 98% that didn't make it into the series.
My memories of Kiki's Delivery Service is that I liked it better than every one of these except for Princess Mononoke.
Kiki's Delivery Service has a better tomato meter score than any of the ones we watched.
Yeah. My memory of Kiki's Delivery Service is that it is just delightful.
Yeah.
I think in touching on my number one, too, like Howl's Moving Castle, one of the biggest creative outlets I could possibly have is creating stories. And I get to do that with like being a dungeon master. And I find a lot of the times when I'm building worlds, I start with characters. I start with people and creatures and stuff first and try and get to know them and then build the world around them. And it feels like that's what Howl's Moving Castle is.
Yes.
Is it's very character centric.
Yes.
Very eclectic, super different. And I loved it 100%. So much. Absolute joy.
Yep.
It's a very Carter movie too. I think if I had watched that without this podcast, I think I probably would have texted you and been like, yo, have you seen this?
Yeah.
I love that. It's so nice.
Yeah. I had that thought while I was watching.
Honored.
I was watching and was like, I bet Carter is loving this right now.
For sure. It also, there's elements of it that are the most similar to like anime shows. There are like animation styles and like character archetypes that are very similar to like a lot of anime that I have seen. And so I think that's part of why it made me think of you. But yeah, I think overall I have loved this series.
So fun.
And I feel like I'm filling in a major blind spot that I have.
Same.
I think that I'm going to rewatch Kiki's Delivery Service just for funsies because I really love that movie. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I feel confident that it holds up. And also, I feel like I need to watch Totoro just because it's like the mascot. I feel like I'm missing out on the Ghibli Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. But dude, Totoro, I'm down for all of it. Ponyo, I'm glad to do Grave of Fireflies. I want to see one of these ones that just absolutely destroys.
Yeah, Grave of the Fireflies, I have heard, is tough.
Saddest of all things.
It's one of...
Give it to me, though.
It's one of three Ghibli movies with 100% on a tomato meter. That's so Tale of Princess, Kaguya, Only Yesterday, and Grave of the Fireflies.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just want to watch them all, if I'm being honest with you. Ponyo is like basically the Little Mermaid, right? Like, almost exactly. But just instead of being a pretty young woman, it's a fish.
I think so. I'm not sure.
So Carter has to pee, I can tell from the way he's moving. So
he's ready to go.
No, I'm just stretching.
Sure.
I've never moved like this.
Finding new muscles. Thanks for joining us for Thanksgiving, and make sure you stay tuned for Christmas stream. It's just gonna be a delight, I think. So stay tuned for that. To end today's episode, I'd like for each of us to say our name and which monster from Spirited Away we'd like to spend a little bit of time with. For Two Chunks and a Hunk, I'm Jordan. It's got to be Radish Spirit for me, dude. It has to be.
Seems pretty chill.
Seems super chill.
He seems extremely chill.
I feel like we could just like post up and just kind of vibe. No words.
Yeah.
Cozy guy.
Yeah, maybe snuggle a little bit, listen to some music.
Maybe.
See where the night takes us.
I'm Doge, and in a world of no faces and spider armored mans and turnip spirits, I hang out with the guy who's just a frog. Just regular frog.
Bro.
I think that's my good like entry point into the spirit world because I know frogs. I've seen frogs. I've held frogs. Familiar. Talking one's an adjustment, but it's not like a crazy gonna I know reshape Kermit. My view of the world. Yeah, maybe he's like Kermit.
I'm Carter. I'm Carter, and it's definitely gonna be one of those duck spirits, dude. That was wearing like a lily pad on its head.
Uh-huh.
They look like a good time. I feel like if you're hanging with one, you're hanging with the crew. It's probably gonna be three or four.
It did feel like a few of those totally monster spirits. They were just like, I don't know, just pull some JPEGs of some Pokemon.
100%. It was just like, what if Psyduck was there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't make it exactly like Cubone, but let's keep some of the elements there.
Yeah, we'll get close. We'll definitely get close. I mean, what was Haku if not fleshy Rayquaza? Anyway,
I take that back. I just want to hang out with her pig parents because they seem so nice and not terrifying.
So terrifying. How did we not talk about that?
Oh my
so
gosh,
terrifying.
Like just at the beginning, you're like, oh my god.
I think has a like terrifying. A hog thing. I'm not saying dude, fetish. I didn't say fetish.
No. It's a fascination.
He has
not a fetish.
He has a proclivity. It's not
this
a fetish.
Was the
it's
most,
a kink.
I think if Del Gorbo was to pick up live action iteration, of any Ghibli movie, it would be Spirited Away. So
you don't think he would? You don't think he would go buck wild with the hogs and the forest spirit from Mononoke?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that gross wormy hog would be.
Yeah, that's him.
Side note.
That's our nasty boy Del Gorbo.
I kind of want to see. I don't know. I feel like Mononoke was like the prettiest.
Mm.
Yeah.
And like the crisp. I think like Denis would have fun with that.
Carter.
Don't even.
Why would you say that, dude? Why would you even say that to me right now?
And then Taika could do Howl's.
Oh, actually, hey, more importantly, don't do any of this.
No, do not do this. No,
don't touch these. Just leave these alone.
No, they're not.
I think the big takeaway here is just don't. Just go ahead and don't.
Yeah.
Because that's not how you get clicks. This is.
The ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.